I don't know why I just hit the gong. This is Pure Decking for what the hell is today? Thursday, November something, I think. I haven't had that much to drink. November 10th, 2016. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and for all of those of you who are triggered or literally shaking or calling the suicide prevention hotline because of the election results, your tears are delicious. Not actually all that enamored with Trump, but everybody losing their shit's pretty funny. So, anyways, I'm Morps, and tonight I have RU46. What's up, RU?
How much?
Madman!
Hola, ¿cómo está? El Donald going to export me!
And Suave. Suave's already actually been exported to Canada.
We're currently we're raising funds to start our wall to prevent the massive influx of Americans into the Great White North.
You know, to steal the joke, to steal from the joke from earlier, we have a absolutely ironclad, fantastic, anybody can call us on it argument as to why Hillary lost the election. You didn't get enough votes.
Didn't get enough votes.
I challenge you to debate it, Madman.
Find something wrong with the logic.
I'm just wondering, why doesn't Canada want Hollywood to move north?
Really? Really? You want, like, Lodge, California? Above you? Like, it's bad enough at the moment.
I think they'll die out. Canada gets enough snow, I think a lot of celebrities will starve.
But, you
and
know,
the bears will eat them.
It is interesting. It is interesting that, what's her name? Amy Schumer and all the Avengers actors and everybody else who said they were moving if Trump won. They all said they were moving to Canada, not Mexico or South America.
Why would you want to go to a smelly brown country? I'm a progressive,
dude. Or
even
Europe.
Get my Starbucks.
Like, none of them said, I'm moving to Britain or I'm moving to, France or Germany.
No, they're not going to go to Germany. There's too many migrants there.
Yeah.
In Canada, there's just Canadians. And geese. Bears.
Yeah, fuck geese. I ain't going. No one wants to come here.
Compared to the...
We're a white
nation.
None
of them said Australia.
Yeah,
you're right.
What's wrong with us, you fuckers?
I mean, never mind the wildlife.
Like 90% of the stuff there is venomous, and the rest of it still wants you dead.
And are you as scared of the Canadian geese? That should tell you something about the fucking Canadian geese.
You can see them coming, that's why. I don't mind death from above when I can't see it, but... Yeah.
Well, you know, drop bears are a thing, so...
Fucking hoop snakes, man. It's hoop snake season. Bastards are rolling everywhere.
Oh, I just got a fun visual off that one. So, the Futurama episode with the dark one, and they weren't sure if it was the snake or the frog. And anyways, so first, that's enough with the election.
Yes, thank you.
So, there's... I tried to stay away from news stories. The discussion topic mentions the election, but it's not. I don't care about the election. You know, we'll replace it with generic candidate A and generic candidate B here, because that's not what I want to talk about. So it's from Tech Dirt. If the FBI can't stop all these leaks about an investigation, why would it be able to keep an encryption backdoor secret? Which is actually a very legitimate question with everything that just went on. In the last 10 days or so, James Comey sent two letters to Congress. The first one notifying Congress of some new information in an unrelated investigation that may pertain to generic candidate B's emails, and one from yesterday admitting there was nothing important in those emails. That was effectively all Comey officially said. Yet in between that, a ton of information leaked from the FBI about the investigation. We learned what it pertained to. The generic candidate C or generic candidate B's chief or right-hand girl's estranged husband investigation.
Can we just use a name? Dude, let's just use a name, Toad Sandwich.
Okay, turd sandwiches. Turd sandwiches, right-hand woman's estranged husband. Investigation. Heard investigation or estimates of the number of emails involved. Heard that the FBI found them weeks ago, but only told Comey right before he sent the letter. And that the FBI did not have, or did have, or no, I'm sorry, let me read that again. That the FBI did not have a warrant to read those emails, and then that it did. And that a whole bunch of people inside both the FBI and the DOJ have opinions on both sides of the whole mess. Basically, the FBI and the DOJ were leaking information like it was the last chance they'd ever have to leak information, and their lives depended on who could leak the most. And this is the same agency that was so insistent on forcing tech companies to put backdoors into any encryption to make sure the FBI can get anything it wants, yet they can't even keep basic investigation details a secret. So, that's actually a really fucking good point. With everything going on between WikiLeaks and all the FBI stuff coming out, why would you assume that they could actually keep these encryption backdoors secret? You would assume investigating a presidential candidate is not something they'd want to publicize.
It depends. The reason those were being leaked isn't as much that they didn't know it was a bad idea to leak an ongoing investigation. Every idiot knows that. The reason they were being leaked is there were higher-ups in the FBI that did not want to pursue a case against someone running for the presidency of the U.S. And then there were people that are actually doing the investigation saying, there are fucking felonies here. Why hasn't candidate B been arrested yet? They couldn't get the investigation to go forward, so they leaked to pressure their superiors to actually do something.
So,
is there a political pressure from either side of the aisle to dump a backdoor?
There would be if the backdoor was exposing something bad, obviously. Or, okay, so what you're saying is that the FBI internal mechanisms are subject to political pressure.
Yes.
Is it that hard to think of a scenario in which they might start leaking some of these backdoors or information they got from backdoors?
Information they got from backdoors? Yes. The backdoors themselves? How is it going to help the Democrat Party if they say, this is how we're getting into everyone's iPhones? How is it going to help the Republican Party if they go out and say, this is how we're getting into everyone's Samsungs?
Well, if the Republican Party is in power and the Democrats want to embarrass them,
then it's stripping the tool from the Democrat Party.
You're assuming these people are rational. They're in government. I assume none of them are rational.
Well, this isn't the first time we've been spying on ourselves. It wasn't either party that dumped anything on the Snowden leaks. Both parties were covering it up. Edward Snowden wasn't the 10th person to report this. He was the 15th. The first went to the Department of Justice. Some went to Congress. Both parties were keeping it hushed up and kept it hushed up for years. It eventually took somebody that didn't care and had no political stake in the game to actually release details on PRISM. So I think eventually it's going to come out, because despite how jaded I am, I still believe decent people eventually make it into these institutions. And one of those decent people isn't going to have anything he cares about to lose, or at least not enough that he's afraid to lose it, and will dump these back doors.
I think
political party, they'll both keep their mouths shut because it benefits them both.
Go ahead, Ari.
Dude, I think Snowden's paid a heavy price for a man who didn't have anything to lose.
He is he's effectively exiled from his home country. Did you look at his social life? It's non-existent one? He's not any more destitute than he was.
Okay.
The punishment is he's now famous, well-known, and can't come back to this country.
Right. But even then, so Snowden leaked this stuff. And I think his leaks actually came from CIA, though. But the point is still made.
NSA.
Yeah. Oh, was it NSA?
NSA.
Oh, that's right. The theory was people thought he worked for the CIA. Right. Never mind. Conspiracy theories aside. But the point is that if they have this kind of stuff, eventually somebody, especially if it's, I guess clandestine would be the word, having these backdoors, somebody might think it's wrong and leak it.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be leaked, but Yur was saying that they couldn't keep it secret for the reason they couldn't keep these emails secret. Well, the reason they couldn't keep these emails secret is political. It wasn't anything to do with morality.
Okay, but it's still the same thing that they obviously cannot keep secrets for one reason or another. Eventually it comes out, right? Yeah. So if that's the case, why should we trust them to hold back doors into everyone's iPhone, everyone's, you know, Android phone, everyone's email systems or web servers or God knows what else?
The answer is they shouldn't.
And it's not even them leaking it, because I think it would be found before they leaked it.
Well,
people are always trying to get into this shit.
People beating on. Well, and you've got pay for play on these vulnerability systems. Like, you can make some serious bank finding vulnerabilities. Yeah. So a backdoor of encryption is vulnerability. So I think you're right that it would be found. But FBI is arguing that they should have backdoors in everything. Remember the whole iPhone scandal a few months back, or maybe I guess it was this time last year, where they wanted to force Apple to make backdoors. They wanted to force all the mobile providers to give them backdoors without warrants, without wiretap rulings. They just wanted to be able to, you know, get whatever anytime they thought they needed it.
Yeah.
So between this election, Snowden, and a few other examples, I think we've effectively the experience has proved you should not trust these institutions to hold that kind of sensitive data, let alone create it in the first place.
Yeah. They shouldn't have.
I think if it's there,
it's going to be found.
I think we essentially just argued back to the point we started on.
We did. And unfortunately, Suave was attacked by a large
Canadian goose.
Canadian geese that have confused him for their mating season. And
it wasn't confusing. They wanted to rape a large black man.
And they got swapped.
Oh, God, they
instead.
Got the wrong house. Oh,
no!
I mean, what, you know what they say. Fuck. Once you go Canadian, you're wearing a toboggan in bed.
Wow, that's where I went wrong with that prostitute.
Wow.
And I thought you were on a traction board.
So I was hoping to get a we need somebody in here to argue with us on this one, because I guess we all were kind of fundamentally agreeing in the first place. So,
well, it's just the reason it's going to be leaked is what I was disagreeing about. It has the reason FBI leaked, I'm just going to say it, the Clinton shit, wasn't because they can't keep a secret. It's because half of them wanted to prosecute and the other half said there isn't a crime. And they're like, what do you mean there's not a fucking crime? If we don't prosecute this, we can't prosecute anyone
but the
for
point
violating
is that they can't
classification.
Keep a secret. The ultimate point was that they can't be trusted to keep a secret, especially if that secret is this kind of a big back door.
Yeah. Once everybody knows the back door's there, everything's fucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a patch that won't get out quick enough, I'll tell you that. All right, well, that's fine. Let's go ahead and move on to the news here for this evening. Start pasting links. I should have done this a second ago when we were still talking, but that's okay because I misjudged when the conversation was going to die down. First article up is from the BBC. Tesco Bank blames systematic, sophisticated attack for account losses. This may not be the first time, but this is the first time I remember hearing of a bank actively blaming large amounts of accounting errors on hackers. Tesco's bank.
He's lying, fuck.
Well, I figure. That's why I thought it'd be fun to start with. Tesco's bank chief executive has blamed a systematic, sophisticated attack for money taken from 20,000 of its customer accounts. That's a lot of accounts to fuck with. Benny Higgins said the bank knew exactly what the attack was, but could not say more because it was part of a criminal investigation. He said all affected customers would be refunded by the end of Tuesday. About 40,000, that's even more than the headline, about 40,000 accounts saw suspicious transactions over the weekend, of which half had money taken. The bank is still blocking current account customers from making online payments using their debit card. A temporary measure, so this bank is basically shut down. Temporary measure put in place on Sunday. It said customers would still be able to use their cards for cash withdrawals and chip and PIN payments, while bill payments and direct debits would continue as normal. We're working hard to resume normal service on current accounts and as soon as possible, said Mr. Higgins. Earlier, the bank confirmed some accounts that have been subject to online criminal activity and in some cases resulting in money being withdrawn fraudulently. Mr. Higgins also apologized for the worrying inconvenience customers just faced. One cybersecurity expert said this could be an unprecedented breach at a British bank. I've not heard of an attack of this nature and scale on a UK bank, and it appears that the bank's central system was the target, said Professor Alan Woodward, security consultant who's worked with Europol. Over the weekend, customers complained about money being withdrawn without permission, cards being blocked, and long delays to get through the bank on the phone. Any financial loss that results from this fraudulent activity will be borne by the bank, Mr. Ginn said. Customers are not at a financial risk. I don't know how the British banking system works. Do they have the equivalent of our federal
insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the equivalent. So it's not really going to be borne by the bank. Initially, the bank's going to bore it. Their Fed is going to bail them out. Because now the Bank of Britain, not the Eurobank.
Yeah, so in other words, the British taxpayer is ultimately going to pay this.
Well, yes. At the end of the day, the banking industry takes out insurance loans against this sort of thing.
Well, that's true, too.
So that they could pay tens of millions of dollars in every year and only get back, you know, how much did this bank? 40,000 or something?
20,000 accounts. They haven't set a number amount yet.
Say they lost 100 grand. You know, it's the first time in, they're saying how many years.
It's the first time anybody's known of a British bank getting hacked like this. I've not heard of a bank blaming this kind of mass fraud on
I don't think it's mass fraud. I'd say it's complete incompetency by the bank.
Mm.
They could be paying in all this money and never making an insurance claim, and this is the first time they've made an insurance claim in, you know, a lifetime.
Yeah. So, Tesco has yet to use the word hacking to describe the breach. The bank has 7 million customer accounts and 4,000 staff based in Edinburgh, Glasgow, and Newcastle. Kevin Smith from Blackpool said he lost 500 pounds. Just to rub the salt in that wound there. So they lost 500 pounds from one account and 20 from another. He said, I was about to go to bed when I received a text message from Tesco saying there had been fraud on my account, so of course you panic. Alan Baxter from Berwick-upon-Tweed. That is a town name right there. Berwick-upon-Tweed.
Quality.
Fantastic British names for some of their towns. Of course, I like Blackpool and, you know, shit like that is awesome. They've just got some fun names for towns. Said that he lost 600 pounds, leaving him with just $21.88 in the bank. Oh, that would suck. Like, if you'd just gotten paid and, you know. He said Tesco said they couldn't offer me emergency funds, but would offer $25 as a goodwill, or 25 pounds as a goodwill gesture. I got food and petrol to pay for, and I have a delivery of coal coming tomorrow for our coal-fired heater, and I won't be able to pay. Well, yeah, that's what happens when your bank account gets cleaned out.
That's why you always have $1,000 stashed at home.
Yeah. Money has vanished. Other customers complained on Tesco's bank website and through social media about long delays from calling the customer service line to find out if their account was affected. Well, yeah, you got everybody who has an account there saying, oh, God, what's just happened to my accounts?
Yeah, only 7 million people were calling that day.
Yeah. Mark Noakes from Thrapston told the BBC, looked at my account this morning to find a large hole. There was £2 in there. Should have been a lot more. Well, that's the other thing. You have customers saying, I should have had 15,000 pounds in there. Sir, your previous balance was 350.
Well, I deposited my paycheck.
Finally got through to customer service and was told it would take 48 hours to sort out, as there have been a lot of transactions on my account that could not be linked to me or my wife. For such a big company, they're not being professional. I'm doing well compared to some others. If I had another bank account, and this will all get sorted somehow.
I'm just finding it strange that some people from London have extremely southern accents.
Well, you know, we don't want to make... You told me never to do that accent again, so...
Fair enough.
I'm trying not to. Because if I try to do a British accent, I basically go straight into Monty Python. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's how we learned to speak British. Cheerios, motherfucker.
But I don't need any cereal right now. Make no mistake, while Tesco Bank is stressing... That was a terrible joke. It really was. Nobody called me on it.
I'm just trying to think of a time when I heard Basil Fawlty go, cheerio, motherfuckers.
That would have been awesome.
It was the same time he was holding an AR-15 firing wildly out the front door.
I'm awesome.
And you're picturing it now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I want to see that episode. I pay money to see that episode. Make no mistake, while Tesco Bank is stressing that relatively small amounts were taken from 20,000 accounts, it is a very serious security incident. All Tesco Bank will say is that it has been a victim of online criminal activity, so we have little detail of the nature of the attack. What is different is that it involves tens of thousands of people falling victim for a 24-hour period to what appears to be an automated process, rather than individuals clicking on links in phishing emails or having their details stolen after malicious downloads. So the problem was at the bank, not at the end user. That's why I'm sitting there going, I don't think I've heard of this before.
Insider, or did they get in through like a hole in their website?
Either one, because yeah, this is an attack on the company's systems. This isn't like skimmers or shit.
This is inside. I think they've had an actual physical penetration of their own network.
Well, that'd be the easier way to go. I mean, if I was going to hack a bank, that's how I'd do it.
It just seems really weird, man.
If I was going to hack a bank, I'd leave USB drives all over the parking lot, but that's not the point.
Well, surely don't stick those in computers at their place of employment.
Where you work? No, but tellers are nice people who want to help out their customers.
Oh, God.
The other way you do it is figure out who the IT person for that local branch is and, you know, modify up a USB keyboard and mail it to them and pretend to be a vendor trying to sell them on keyboards. But that's
cool.
You can hide a Tensi and a USB hub in one of those things and do the whole automated keyboard thing. That's a fun trick. Then the keyboard just starts typing out PowerShell when it thinks nobody's around. You got lots of room inside a keyboard if you want to put like light sensors or... Yeah, just go watch enough DerbyCon videos. You'll figure out how I'm talking, you know, what I'm
talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So it doesn't say the attack came from outside. It doesn't say it came from inside. They're just
saying... the bank's not saying shit. They're just saying it happened.
Oh, yeah, the bank's in the we're limiting liability mode.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ori.
We'll cooperate with the cops, but no one else.
If I had to edge a guess on it, I would say it was a disgruntled employee.
That or an employee who was stupid and didn't know what they were doing, you know, clicked a link or something inside the bank on their work machine.
But it sounds a little bit more nefarious than this, especially that many accounts, you know.
Well, usually when you have a bot or something get inside one of these corporate networks, they don't normally look at what they have because they're more focused on building the botnet. I kind of wonder if this is a case where somebody clicked a link, got a bot inside the machine, and instead of just dropping crypto ransomware or starting to build their botnet or attack other systems, which is what usually happens, and you never hear about it because it's one or two machines being stupid, you get a complaint from whoever it's talking about and you go clean it up. I wonder if this is somebody who looked at what they had and said, wait a minute, this is a bank, and went to town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Interesting, though.
Yep. All right, next article. After protests, Lenovo adds Linux compatibility Yoga 900 900S laptops. The article itself isn't that important, so I'm not going to read this one word for word. So about 2 months ago on Reddit, people were losing their minds. Because Lenovo, and I think we talked about it on Decking, Lenovo Yoga, the newer their Ultrabook line that you can flip the screen around and use them like a tablet. Some people figured out that you basically could not install Linux on them. And something with the way the firmware was set up on it, you could not install Linux on these Lenovo laptops. And of course, the conspiracy theories kicked off, and they couldn't. And Lenovo was saying, "No, the Microsoft didn't pay us to do this. It's just a firmware setting, and we're sorry about that." So now they've actually published the fix, where you install this update, and now you can install Linux. So, it's interesting that it couldn't have been a lot of people screaming about this. But I don't know. I just find it interesting that so many people, were just so incredibly pissed off at the concept that they would sell a laptop that you can't run other operating systems on. Apple. Excuse me. I don't know where that came from. Chromebooks. Actually, no. You can hack both of those, but that's not. Well, Apple started supporting Windows a while back, but that's not my point.
So you couldn't even hack Lenovo to get this to run?
No, it was something with the way the bootloader was loaded into the EFI. Actually, I wonder if the article explains it, because I'm trying to remember now. The BIOS update adds... Oh, it was with the SATA controller. Here we go. The BIOS update adds ACHI, Advanced Host Controller Interface, SATA controller mode, so users can load Linux on their laptops. Okay, this is a Linux-only BIOS, which means it should only be used by those who want to load Linux. If you want to continue to use Windows, do not load the firmware. The BIOS is not intended to be used on machines running the Windows operating system. So,
so if you want to change between operating systems, you have to get
a BIOS,
new BIOS for whichever one you want to use, instead of it just supporting everything native.
They've got a SATA mode that I guess only Windows supports, which means it probably had a driver that was installed from the factory, or worse. You remember on, Suave, you remember this, on like Windows XP, where if you tried to install on a motherboard that had like a SATA RAID controller, and you didn't have the little floppy disk?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're back to that same problem with these Lenovos, although they've probably got it's probably got the recovery partition in the driver already installed, but... So if it didn't have AHCI mode for SATA, yeah, you couldn't install Linux on it. So that's interesting. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a bizarre error, because I thought isn't all this just done at the factory to be compatible with damn near everything?
Well, in this case, it was not. It was specifically for the OS that was going on. Sorry, go ahead, Swal.
It's not really a good solution. Like Madman said, like, you gotta reflash your BIOS every time you want to change your OS.
Yeah, it's a little nuts.
I guess, what is it, like a $700 laptop?
You know, I don't know.
$700 to $1,000, looking on the article.
It's
not
Google.
Exactly like a super high-end device. Say it's what, like mid-range. I guess you can't expect too much.
It looks like a Lenovo 900. Newegg's got one for 1,050. Kick Online has one for 959. Let's see, the S is about the same price, 1,050. I've got an IdeaPad on here too. What's about $1,000 laptop?
I can expect it to do whatever operating system I want it to be on it.
Yep.
Unless they advertise really it when you bought it as for Windows only. I mean, if they said it, this will only run Windows.
I'm really glad that you did this story, because now I know that I need to even check for that. I didn't even know that you had to check for that for laptops and stuff like that. Like,
well,
I just
for
would
the
assume.
Longest time you didn't. That's kind of why a lot of people lost their mind over it.
So, yeah, I guess I won't be buying anything from Lenovo here.
Well, Lenovo even is saying that they've got this thing saying, well, we're not going to support this BIOS, and we really don't think Linux is going to work that well on the laptop. But if you want to do it...
Yeah.
Because they're saying they don't think the software was going to work all that well. The storage controller mode is not all that well. It's not going to work that well.
Like, if that's the case, I think that's actually a mistake for them even to release that BIOS, unless it's like open source, which I don't think it can even be.
No, it's not.
Because, it's just going to, you're going to have a bunch of people with a really shitty user experience, and they're going to go complain about your product. Like, well, it was a business decision. Like, they went and spent a bunch of business money to, you know, add the support that's not really going to work well. And, it, like, I'm sure they didn't make any extra sales because of it, because it's kind of like this unsupported thing. And anybody in the know, i.e. anybody who would want to install Linux, going to realize that that's definitely not something that they're going to go out and buy as a Linux machine.
So, and they're even saying in the article here, Lenovo has argued that they designed the hardware for Windows 10 and that that's all they've tested it against, and if you're wanting to put Linux on it, well, we wish you the best of luck. And they're going on to here in the article say, locking specific hardware to Windows has emerged as an issue in recent years. For example, Intel's Kaby Lake chips only support Windows 10, and AMD's upcoming Zim chips are only going to support Windows 10. That's a mistake. But the CPUs don't lock themselves into an operating system like that, because there are a lot of operating systems out there beyond Windows. A lot. Oh, yeah. And if you work enterprise IT and you've got chips that only run Windows, you're probably going to go somewhere else, because right now, enterprise IT, most of the development is on Linux inside of things like Docker and Chef and virtual machines. That Windows environment does not translate well to a lot of that.
So all you can say is really Lenovo is home use only.
Oh, yeah. Maybe end users that are going to be running a Windows desktop on a domain.
Yeah, but it's not going to be your fallback industrial tool.
You know, it's interesting.
For developers and stuff.
You can do the Ubuntu inside Windows things in the anniversary update. So many people have had problems with the anniversary update that that's not a good idea really either to rely on. And Macs, I mean, hell, their last ones come out don't even have a fucking escape key on them, so you really don't want to do console stuff on it very much, because good lord. No function keys, no escape keys. Good luck getting around terminal.
Isn't that always been the selling point of a PC? Yeah, a lot of people get Windows and it's just on there forever. I understand they have a large market share. But the big sell for PC was it will do whatever. We're not going to lock you in. We're not a Mac.
Well, here's the thing. Most manufacturers no longer are selling IT or not selling laptops as tech. They're now selling it as an appliance. You're supposed to buy it, use it for 3 years, break the screen, throw it away, and buy a new one.
You know, like, if it's soon going to get to the point where if you want to buy something that you can do what you want with, it's going to be some enterprise-level stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the consumer stuff, yeah, it's getting kind of dumbed down.
Yeah, because if you go to buy consumer laptops, they're basically going to sell you Chromebooks or Celeron machines that, you know, what's it do? It plays Minecraft and it loads Facebook. That's it. I mean... edit video? You got to buy a $2,000 workstation.
What more could you want?
I want the computer to do whatever I need it to do. That's why I buy software for it. I just want it to be able to run whatever software. Okay, whatever software was written at the time the computer was built. I know it's going to go out of date. But if I buy something in 2016 and it has all the best stats on it, I got RAM, I got everything, I want it to be able to run the software put out that year. Maybe even run software put out in the future for a bit, because I don't want to need to just replace it every, you know, so many years. But I want it to be able to run whatever software. I'm going to look at what am I going to put on it? What specs do I need to run this video game? Because honestly, gaming is the only thing I'm going to do. But tell music editing, whatever. I want to be able to look at some software, see what are the system specs, buy a laptop with that, those specs are better, and just run whatever the fuck I want on it.
Well, I mean, you know, and that was a big fear when Windows brought out the Microsoft stores. Remember, Steam even did a whole console line thinking that, well, Microsoft's going to start trying to force people out of Windows and you have to go through the Windows Store like Apple is doing with the iOS stuff. So, I don't know. I just know it's getting strange with all this consumer gear that's kind of a computer but kind of shit. You know what I mean? I think Swab's right. You're just going to have to start buying Enterprise gear.
Well, on the kind of shit, I can even live with the kind of shit if that's what I'm buying. Like the Chromebooks that pretty much you have to be connected to the internet for, if it says that on the box and they're dirt fucking cheap, I'm cool with that if I'll just buy it just to surf the internet and watch Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, as long as they're straightforward, that's what it's for. But they're not. Apparently, the Lenovo's, they weren't, and that was part of the problem. And, yeah. You know, I tell you, I have this Asus laptop. It's getting a little older now. It didn't last nearly as long as I was hoping. I've only had it a couple of years, but it's already showing its age. Mainly because I can't put any more RAM in it. It's an Ultrabook, and there's just not a slot. I guess I could put more RAM in it if I had a hot air rework station, but I don't. At least not a working one. And I really don't feel like trying to solder new RAM chips on the board and hope it picks them up. But the thing with it is, it's interesting. It's obviously designed for Windows. It's the what's it called? Tai Chi, Asus Tai Chi. It actually has a screen on either side of the lid. The interior screen's a basic laptop screen. The exterior screen's a glossy tablet touchpad screen or touchscreen. I never used a touchpad tablet. I've used it for a little bit. Figured out it was gimmicky and basically went back to using it as a laptop. All that touchscreen hardware does not work in Linux. But other than that, the machine runs Linux fantastically. Like, I mean, beautifully runs the machine, runs it. I just have to do because it does actually pick up the touchscreen part of the outer screen as a separate input device. I just have to disable that, because otherwise you accidentally touch the back of the screen and your mouse freaks out. But it's a simple tweak to get Linux to run on. Other than that, it's a bog standard laptop, and it never even occurred to me that it might have a problem running Linux. However, back when Linux was new years ago, it really was a question of you were buying specific hardware because you knew it would work on Linux, especially with things like modems, certain video cards. For the longest time, you did not buy them because they would not work on Linux. Wi-Fi, especially. Wi-Fi was always a big deal to get working on Linux early on. So it's not so much that it's odd to see hardware that just doesn't work in Linux all that well. It's just less common than it used to be. I mean, nowadays you kind of expect to be able to do whatever you want with it and it'll just work, but that was not always the case. So I don't know. I mean, even to this day, you still avoid some hardware. So,
you know, I'm not actually all that up on the whole convertible laptop world. I remember when Microsoft was touting that. Well, it was like this little notebook thing with two screens that kind of opened up like a book.
Oh God, I remember that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that looked so cool, and you know, like I've kind of been wanting something like that at some point, and I feel like the whole convertible thing kind of fills that niche. But it's. I just had a quick look through like Amazon for the 2-in-1s and stuff.
Well, so I can tell you about that a little bit. The real problem you run into, at least with my Asus, the little Tai Chi 21,
yeah.
The real problem I run into with it is that it's still as heavy as a laptop. Like an iPad, it's fairly light, or an Android tablet. They don't weigh that much, so you can kind of hold them all day long and use them like a tablet, or you can put a keyboard on them, or, you know, whatever. With the convertibles, they turn into a tablet, sure. Now, a lot of them, you flip the screen around, and the screen goes over the back, and that means the keyboard and the mouse are exposed, or the touchpad are exposed on the back.
Do they turn off when you do that?
Well, the software will turn them off, yeah.
Okay.
So that, you know, accidentally touching them doesn't do anything. But, you know, then it's a tablet that just weighs a fucking lot.
Yeah, but you know, like, I think I'd actually rather have that than have, like, something that's a really shitty laptop and a decent tablet. I'd much rather have a decent laptop that can also be a tablet.
Well,
Aren't some of the newer tablets just decent computers? You can toss a keyboard on it if you want to treat it like a laptop.
Well, I wouldn't even say recent tablets. Everybody's losing their shit over Node doing a video and converting a Nexus 7 into a little Ubuntu machine. Shit, we were doing that years ago.
Yeah.
No slag on Node. I'm like seeing everybody pick up his video on this. I'm like, he made an OTG adapter and put a Bluetooth keyboard on a Nexus 7 and called it a laptop. Why is everybody losing their mind?
Yeah, I remember that stuff on Hackaday, like way back when.
Oh yeah, and I mean, and even Node wasn't presenting this as anything amazingly fantastic. He just said, "Look, I built a little Linux machine," and everybody lost their mind. So I mean, it's, I'm not slagging on Node. I'm slagging on Hackaday and everybody else who picked it up and talked about how wonderful it was.
A big complaint I have about a lot of these so-called 2-in-1s is just looking through Amazon again. A huge number of them don't really seem to look like they would actually work well on your lap. Like they've got all these kickstands and like flimsy connectors between the screen and the keyboard and stuff. Like, what's the point of having a laptop that you can only use on like a perfectly flat, stable desk? Like, this is supposed to be a portable piece of gear.
Dude, you're not meant to use it. You're meant to pose with it at a coffee shop.
And like, if you can't sit down and like use the keyboard, then there's no point in having the keyboard.
Well, and here's the thing that gets really weird about a lot of these convertibles is you have laptops that have touchscreens, but they aren't really convertible. They're just a laptop with a touchscreen, which means if you want to use the touchscreen and you've got it on the table, you're sitting there reaching out all the damn time to use it. Then you have the same problem that we had of, you know, fat IT fucks whose arms get tired.
I remember when touchscreens first came out and everybody was all saying like, oh, it's going to be like that sci-fi movie or whatever, the one with Tom Cruise and memory stuff where he's reaching out and working on the thing. It looks great on screen.
Yeah, terrible to use for a long period of time.
Oh, absolutely. Like, nobody wants to sit there with their arms sticking out like that this whole time. And, you know, like, I remember everybody at work, like, they're all using CAD and stuff like that. They're like, oh, it's going to be so great with multi-touch and everything. You can pinch and zoom and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, I can do that so much faster with the mouse and keyboard. My fingers are already there. I have to make, like, minimal muscle movements to actually make that happen.
There are a few times where it would be nice to be able to reach out and like manually rotate or zoom in on something, but if a laptop has a touch screen, I might use it. If it doesn't, I don't care.
Think of how much more in shape you'll be using your arms now.
At work, we actually picked up a couple of these, like they're like $5,000 tablets. I can't even remember the name of the company that makes them, but they're like follow all these industry standards for ruggedization, like mil-spec and stuff, and they're waterproof and shockproof.
Oh, like
and
the Toughbook line?
Way higher end than that.
Oh, okay.
Like these things are around welders and like, they are like indestructible Fisher-Price tablets.
That's awesome.
So we haven't really stress tested them yet, but they're basically guaranteed against everything for 3 years. Like you could throw it under a truck and drive over it, and if the screen happens to break, then they'll just send you a new one.
You need to go up to the top floor of a tall building and start just chucking them and see if they survive.
I live on the prairies, so that's not going to happen. But
come visit. We'll find you a visit.
So we took this thing out, and like, this was a $5,000 piece of equipment. You'd think it would be pretty beefy, but like I tried to like throw on like some CAD stuff and everything, look at a couple of like medium complexity models, and it was like just like 5 second chugging delay. Like, you rotate the screen and touch something and then select something, and then you'd literally wait 15 seconds and then the screen would move.
So go check the hardware and it's like some ARM 7 chip with 512 mega RAM.
So like they bought these and they were all sold on these and they saw this and they were having all these problems for days and everything, and I had a look at it and I'm playing around with it and I'm like, wait a minute, this is Windows on a mobile device. Went and look at the power settings. Yeah, sure enough, it's on the power saving mode.
Oh god.
So yeah, I go put it to full power mode. The screen is like now blindingly bright, of course, and the battery life drops down to like 4 hours. But
four hours of power is pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it was like it actually has two batteries in it. But yeah, it was, and you can hot swap the batteries, And
oh, nice.
So yeah, that's cool.
Oh yeah, and it was like blazing fast. Everything just worked perfectly, and I'm like, oh man, I need to steal one of these somehow.
All right, let's,
that sounds cool.
Let's move on to the next one here. This is from slashcrypto.org. Netflix account takeover through automated phone calls. So this guy did some digging work. Pretty much what's going on here is one of the methods you can use to do a password reset in Netflix is actually have an automated system call you. And it will read the code out to you that you then punch into the website as a security measure. You know, guarantees you're controlling the phone line, right? So what these guys are doing is they call you at the same time or right before they hit the thing to have Netflix call you. So the code goes to your voicemail. Then use standard caller ID spoofing to get your voicemail. You know, old school stuff, this thing, well, what's his name? British prick who came to the United States because he got, you know, he was going to get prosecuted in Britain for getting into voicemails. What's his name? Come on, madman. The anti-gun asshole from Britain who came over to the United States to tell us our laws were stupid.
Works for Fox News?
He's fired now. I haven't seen him on anything in a long time. What was his fucking name?
Yeah, no idea.
Anyways, he was doing this shit. So, I mean, caller ID spoofing is pretty easy shit, and, you know, getting into voicemails. So the code goes into your voicemail, and they hack into your voicemail as quickly as they can so they get the code and steal your Netflix account. Now,
why?
Yeah, that's what I come back to. That's a lot of work to get a Netflix account, but what are they doing with them? To, like, sell them, or...
They get the billing information?
No, not really. I mean, you can go in there and do it. I just... Yeah.
Like, I don't think that you can actually view your own credit card number in there or anything like that.
Psychros,
like,
got it. Piers Morgan.
Thank
That's
you.
That's the asshole I was thinking of.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was doing this voicemail hacking. That's why he had to leave Britain.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, to me, the more interesting part of this story is the voicemail hacking. Like, I guess that's old news, but this is the first I've heard of that.
That's kind of where the guy who wrote the blog post goes. He's like, he's surprised that T-Mobile is so vulnerable to this. But I think it was more he was just testing that this was a thing, you know, getting the code to go to voicemail and then hacking the voicemail to get it.
Yeah. So, you know, I honestly think that a lot of telecom companies rely on security through obscurity. Like, you generally need, like, specialized equipment to get onto those bands, yada, yada, yada. And so, like, yeah, they just don't expect people to do that. But I know for a fact that it's not that difficult if you have the right equipment.
The four-digit, like, PIN.
I remember seeing, like, this one guy who was, like, you know, his computer science university student in his final year or something like that, and he came up with something that would let him tap into the cell phone network and send out those emergency text messages to everybody in a region.
That's cool.
And he was using it to hit on girls in the bar. Basically sent out a mass text message saying, "Hey, I think you're beautiful. I'm the guy in, like, the red hat," or something like that. And all of a sudden, like, everybody's phone in the whole bar goes off, and, like, all these girls look over at this guy, and it was just fucking awesome.
That is epic, dude. Yeah.
That's great.
Oh man, that is awesome.
All right, next article up is from Ars Technica. Spyware is routinely installed by UK schools to snoop on kids' web browsing habits. This is nothing new. I don't know why anybody cares.
I'll let them know.
At least
if the dude between 10 and 14 is masturbating.
Over two-thirds of schools installed special software in school computers to spy on their pupils. Responses to freedom information requests have revealed. According to a report by Big Brother Watch, classroom management software is running on over 800,000 computers, laptops, and mobile phones found in 1,000 secondary school programs across England and Wales. A whopping £2.5 million has been spent on these programs. I don't know why. Why is this surprising? All schools do this shit.
So
they monitor what people. Go ahead.
Finish the story. I'm
not going to finish reading it. I'm going to start railing against it. Why is this? Why is this a thing?
In 1996, I was in elementary school, and we first got the internet. And I remember
we were all old.
No.
It would have been middle school for you guys, but anyways.
High school, asshole.
Okay,
the workplace, man.
I remember we first got the internet. And, like, one of the guys, he's like, oh, I wonder if there's boobs on here or something like that. And he goes to like sex.com. Like pre-search engines. Like we're like just typing in random website addresses trying to find cool stuff.
Oh, so it's first day of darknet. This is awesome.
So, and sure enough, you know, like he goes and finds something. Sex.com was a failure at that point, but we ended up finding something eventually. But sure enough, like he got in huge shit, and there was nobody else there. Like, so like this is back in 1996, and they had monitoring software in the schools. So like this is not new at all.
In back in high school, do you remember Stan?
Stan.
Stan. S-T-A-N-N.
No.
Oh, you probably didn't give a shit at the time. Yeah, a few of us routinely broke into the school's monitoring software because it was the same software they used to lock it down so you couldn't do shit.
Oh, yeah, I saw the blackboard every so often with the code on it so I could, you know, do whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, Stan was the password for the longest time on that thing. And that was the one we managed to keep from getting changed the longest because we didn't tell it to, well, I probably shouldn't say his name on air. But,
Bob. We didn't tell it to Bob.
Yeah, Bob. And so Bob didn't tell his asshole friend Catfucker, because Catfucker would look at, you know, really weird porn and leave it as the wallpaper on the machine for the next person to find. And you think I'm making that code name up?
No. Catfucker fucked a cat.
Oh, no doubt. Who hasn't got a bestiality story from high school?
I know, right?
Well, yeah, but bestiality in Australia is like hard mode. It's like...
like, that fucker's venomous. Who the hell came up with a venomous mammal?
Fuck, man, there's a whole high school right now that's still got the tag Zoomers, because in 1989, I think it was, a high school senior fucked the principal's dog to death, and the principal's named Zuma. Yeah, it died. That's how the school became known as, like, if you went to so-and-so's school, oh, that guy's a Zuma. So the entire school, still to this day, has a reputation of being dog fuckers.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yep. So it's, I back to the article, it's a school. Schools are going to monitor what kids do on the computers while they're at school. Now, the fact that they issue laptops and they might be monitoring what they're doing at home by accident, well, that's just poor controls. But if you're going to, okay, students, if you're going to do something stupid, don't do it on a school computer.
How much child porn has that generated?
Oh, yeah.
Teachers, well, I mean, that was
if you're going to do anything stupid, don't do it on the teaching computer.
Yeah, I remember, like, what was it, like 5 years ago or whatever, somebody got caught because they were using their webcams to spy on kids in their rooms, while, like, at home.
Yep. There's just as much, if not even more, heavily monitored on the teachers' computers as well.
Yeah, honestly, so, I'm kind of shocked that the schools are issuing laptops to kids at this point.
It's not a lot of schools.
Well,
it's high-end ones are doing it, but...
not high-end ones.
Medium-end ones here are doing it.
Oh, yeah?
Public schools are doing it. If you go to a public school in your former state, you're issued a laptop in elementary
school. I know some
were
doing iPads, so...
Dude, we've started coding for preschools.
Yeah.
MacBook Airs.
Well, no, that's
damn.
I don't know about that. But
that's what my nieces have.
I fully support getting kids started early on programming and all this other sort of stuff, but there's absolutely no reason to issue laptops to all of them.
Well, especially, like, how many kids are going to tear the damn thing up? Especially in freaking, you know, elementary school. Look, it flies like a frisbee! I
mean, like, just think how much better that money could be spent on other things. Like, really, paper works perfectly fine for teaching children.
Well, why not get them, like, we were ragging on them earlier, but, like, Chromebooks are, like, $300 a pop, and it'll work just fine for elementary schools to read shit.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be sucking on the tit of Apple. It's branding,
dude. The schools
dude.
Aren't paying full price. Apple does actually donate a lot of this crap.
That's true. Actually, Cycros has got the best call out, Raspis. Like $30 a piece. Who cares if they pop one of those?
That would be perfect for education. That's what it was designed for,
yeah,
wasn't it?
That's what they were made for. So, and yeah, the Raspberry Zeros are like $5. So fuck.
I know what you're saying, but a Raspberry, you require a keyboard, right?
Well, you would need a little docking station for it, which would not be strange. It'd be keyboard, mouse, and monitor.
The reason that they all use tablets, and I know because I had a bitch out at one of these marketing sessions with teachers, they don't want excess cabling lying around.
Mm.
If it doesn't have a cable, it can be looked upon. Anything with cabling, computing, they don't want to know about it, dude. The tripping hazard, the choking hazard. You know, it's only a matter of time before some guy does a Godfather thing and garrots a kid with a keyboard cable, you know?
You know?
And keyboards make great swords in keyboard fighting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking you could probably come up with a little docking station for like a Raspberry so that they would just come back in and drop it in the back of the screen and the screen and a little, you know, wireless keyboard and mouse. But yeah, you're probably right.
Well, you know, like,
is a Raspberry going to be able to be transported in the back of someone's backpack?
You can ask for it, sure.
Not a naked circuit board, but like, why doesn't somebody come up with something for schools that is essentially a Raspberry Pi, and you know, like a Fisher Price case? You just plug into the back of a monitor, and the kid has their computer, and they just need a monitor at home,
That's... That's the thing, man. Most of these kids aren't even getting breakfast before they come to some of these schools.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so I bet you it would be a heck of a lot cheaper for a school to issue a monitor and a Raspberry Pi than it would be to issue a MacBook Air.
Well, the thing with the Raspberry is it's got HDMI, so you just hook it up to a TV. Of course, that means there you go. That assumes you're getting
everybody's
a TV
got
away
a TV.
From them. Well, you know, assuming you're getting the TV away from the parents. So I'm watching my stories.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm the biggest one to rag on Apple, but when asked all these questions, that was pretty much the answers I was given, and I was satisfied, to be honest.
Well, no, I get it, but I still think something like a Chromebook would be a better solution for kids, because they're going to bust them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, you should see these things, man. I don't touch them. Yeah, when she brings home all the laptops from the little fucking Apple things from the kids... Yeah, it's disinfectant time, dude. Like, you don't touch that with your bare hands.
So, continuing on with the theory of bad ideas, next article here is from Gizmodo. Fake fingerprint stickers let you access protected phones while wearing gloves. So, what these are, it's on Gizmodo. It's a sticker that you put on the thumb or index finger of your gloves. And the sticker simulates a fingerprint to the fingerprint reader on your phone, so that you can unlock your phone with gloves on, because everybody relies on their fingerprint to unlock their phones.
What?
But and they claim that due to the way they bake them, every sticker is going to be mostly unique, so the chances of being able to use your gloves to open somebody else's phone is unlikely.
I lost my gloves. I can't make a phone call.
Well, or like, hey, let's get into Billy's phone and check and set the language to simplify Chinese again. How do we get in? Oh, just get the gloves out of his jacket pocket. Now you're
but, like, that's the dumbest idea in the world. Like, so you take your phone and you go set it to the fingerprint on your gloves. Like, what if you forget your gloves at home, or
you can put multiple
leave them in your car or whatever? Like, that's.
I've done both the Apple and the Galaxy. You can put multiple fingerprints in.
Oh, okay.
Although, to be fair, with the Galaxy fingerprint reader, you have to fill out like three profiles for your thumb, because that thing doesn't, it's very sensitive to position. So I basically filled up all my fingerprint slots on my Galaxy with just my thumb, because it was the only way to get it to reliably unlock the damn phone.
I think that's a flaw, not a feature.
Yeah, I think it's a flaw, but since I keep all my data remote anyways, unlock my phone. There's shit on there.
Honestly, I bought this lock for my lock, so it's harder to get into my lock. Fucking stupid. Whoever made this, fuck, go die in a fire. You're a fucking idiot. Anybody who buys this, go join him in the fire. You're a fucking idiot.
Oh, are you? You missed the best part. It's not a product you can buy. It's a Kickstarter.
Ah, oh, fuck off. Has it got any money going towards it?
Apparently it does. It's pretty likely to get funded. Like, $4 will get you a pack of 10 of the stickers. Or something like that. Maybe it was $10 will get you 4 of the stickers.
I'm inventing this thing called an attitude adjuster. You know, I just need a couple of bucks to kick it off. It looks surprisingly like a ball pin hammer. But you can adjust anyone's attitude with it in just one quick swoop.
It's a ball pin hammer. He's duct taped a taser to it. And
and I put some flames on it so it goes fast.
All right. I'm not going to go deep dive into this next one. It's from, how do you say that? Woumn.wordpress.com or Wayoun, maybe? Woumn. Anyways, he found a buffer over, or a, an exception overflow in the Winamp Bento skin.
Winamp still exists?
Oh, yeah, Winamp still exists.
Dude, do they still have the little shoutcast stations?
Yeah.
Like what, TV?
Probably.
Go download Winamp now.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
We've been
it.
Doing a shoutcast station for years, Madman, and you're wondering if it's still going?
No, I've wondered if Winamp's still going, because I haven't had it on my computer in forever.
Well, their tagline is still, it really whips the llama's ass.
Wow. But, yeah, so he goes into, you know, he's got a full write-up of developing the exploit, but it's Cycros, you missed the joke. I know what he was talking about. I thought that was fun. I thought the joke was you're on one was funnier. Sorry. Anyways, apparently there's a exception handling overflow in the Winamp Bento skin. So if you have Winamp installed and it's running and you download the right executable, they can get remote code execution through it, which wow. I just think is awesome.
But, like, really, how useful is that? Like, there can't be that big of a user base for Winamp anymore.
Well, you never hear stories about it being popped, unless they're just really good with security or nobody uses it.
So, I read this earlier, but I've forgotten now exactly what it was. I don't think he actually downloaded an executable. I think it was a file that you would open. Malicious input. Okay, so it was a Mackie file. Okay. So, but yeah, they were able to feed input to Winamp through a Mackie file and get it to exploit, which, anyway.
Here's your input, 82 hours of the mystery men.
You're on one. We've been doing this for years. Wait, we're on Shoutcast?
Brilliant, Madman.
Okay.
Some of the best comedy comes when you don't realize it.
Last article from theindependent.co.uk. Paralyzed monkey walks again. What they don't tell you is the scientists were the one who paralyzed the monkey. Because they had to test this. Paralyzed monkey walks again after scientists fit brain-spine interface. Swiss scientists have helped a monkey with spinal cord injuries regain. They don't say how the monkey got the injuries. Notice it was from RU's attitude adjuster. Swiss scientists have helped monkeys with spinal cord injuries regain control of non-functioning limbs in research, which might one day lead to paralyzed people being able to walk again. The scientists who treated the monkeys with a neuroprosthetic interface that acted as a wireless bridge between the brain and the spine say they have started small feasibility studies in humans to trial some components. The link between the decoding of the brain and the stimulation of the spinal cord to make this communication exist is completely new, said Joycelyn Bloch, a neurosurgeon at the Lausanne University Hospital, who surgically placed the brain and spinal cord implants in the monkeys. For the first time, I can imagine a completely paralyzed patient able to move their legs through this brain-spine interface. So, what this is, they stick a chip in the brain, they stick a chip in the spine, they wirelessly communicate bypassing the damaged area, and the monkey can walk again. Now, there's not a lot of data here on how good the control is, but... They have it working at all.
Awesome. Also, I hope they keep it wireless because it's going to be amazing to make disabled people do the funky chicken remotely.
Although I'm not advocating for this, very cool.
Well, this is also a really good step to the whole Ghost in the Shell prosthetic body, because if you can, they may not be decoding the signal all that well. They're letting the spinal cord do it. The fact that they're able to read the brain, stimulate the spinal cord, and get movement means you have the very basics of a neural interface.
Oh yeah, like
you are getting
at
output.
This point, like they are able to figure out what signals to send into the spine to make things move.
You know, here's the quote. "We developed an implantable wireless system that operates in real time and enables a primate to behave freely without the constraint of tethered electronics. We understood how to extract brain signals that encode flexion and extension movements of the leg with a mathematical algorithm. We then linked the decoded signals to the stimulation of specific hotspots in the spinal cord that induced the walking movement." Period. Drop the mic.
Okay, so here's a question,
though. Prosthetic bodies in 20 years.
Like, the way you just described that, like, are they, like, pre-programming this motion? Or are they actually decoding this the signals from the brain live? Because it almost sounds like they're looking at, like, oh, okay, the monkey is saying walk, and then they have a pre-programmed walking motion for the legs that they stimulate specific muscle groups.
They've got this signal means move this part of the muscle, so they send the signal to the spine to move this part of the muscle.
Yeah, if they have it decoded down to that level, I'm satisfied.
Well, that's, I mean, they're talking about the actual. We understood how to extract brain signals that encode flexion and extension movements of the leg with a mathematical algorithm. That sounds like they figured out the algorithm of the brain for these motions, right, and then play them back to the spine via implantable signals.
Oh man, that is sexy.
Now it looks like they may have to come up with an algorithm for every muscle group.
And I wonder how transferable this is.
They had two monkeys, and they're looking to do experiments on humans.
When I think move my right hand, does that send the same signal as when you think move my right hand, or do they have to program it individually?
Yeah, did they record these signals on the same monkey before they paralyzed him?
So they successfully treated two rhesus monkeys, one with each one paralyzed leg, paralyzed by a spinal cord lesion. One of the monkeys regained some of its use of its paralyzed leg within the first week after injury without training, both on a treadmill and on the ground, while the other took around 2 weeks to recover to the same point. So they haven't been able to go over severe damage. So, yeah. Pretty much.
Either way.
The monkey had to learn to use its leg again, from what it sounds like.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense,
you would have to relearn how to use the limb, because your brain might be sending different signals, so you got to learn how to send the right signals.
Yeah, it's never going to be an exact one-for-one replica, so things are going to be wonky. But you have that feedback mechanism there. Can hopefully feel. Well, maybe you can't feel. Hey,
depends on how much the feedback.
It sounds like it was a one way.
Yeah. So that actually would be a huge problem, and I'm quite shocked that they were able to. I'd actually like to see footage of them moving after this 1 or 2 weeks of recovery time. It's like, really, like, somebody who has a aneurysm or something, and they have to relearn to walk and stuff like that, and all this other sort of stuff where the brain basically has to refigure out the signals it's sending, it takes months or years. So,
and then,
you know,
if you're not getting the feedback of pressure, you're learning to walk without knowing that your feet are touching the ground.
Wasn't there a Superman villain who they put in a robot body, and that drove him mad that he couldn't feel anything?
Metallo, yes.
Yeah, okay. So. Sorry.
Yeah, It's don't get me wrong, it's still totally fucking awesome. Like, this is super badass.
Well, it's you know, we've had lots of step ones we've talked about, so I'm just thinking 15, 20 years from now they start putting some of this shit they've got together. I mean,
as long as the wars
keep going,
as long as the wars keep going, we'll keep funding it. And that was the big problem, man. Like, it's only in the last 10 years we're really funding this stuff.
That's something else. Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. Yep. Fuck that up. Anyways, so I've only got one thing for Digital Dojo this week. That's the ESXi Customizer PowerShell script. This is a PowerShell script that greatly simplifies and automates the process of creating a fully patched and customized ESXi 5 or 6 installation ISO using the VMware PowerCLI. So what this thing does, you need a Windows machine and an ESXi ISO. And pretty much this thing lets you build a customized ESXi ISO. And nobody knows what I'm talking about on this channel, I'm betting.
Nope.
So ESXi is VMware's it's their dedicated host. So, like, you know, virtual machine servers like companies use, they use ESXi and Virtual Center. But you can actually get ESXi for free. Now, it's a little limited, but you can download it for free from VMware and load it on white box machines. This is a customized script to help you install it and get extra drivers that aren't normally present, so you can make extra network cards work, because normally getting the right mix of hardware to work just out of random machines is rare. Turns out I have a laptop that worked without any customization, but I thought I would need customization, which is where I found this. But you can create a standard ISO, you can make a bundle from an offline backup, you can add extra drivers, do all kinds of customization on it, which is pretty cool. So you can just make an ISO that already has your network card drivers installed or works with the hardware that VMware doesn't, basically. So it's pretty cool, it's handy, and it's a quick way to get the network card drivers in your machine that you need if you're trying to build a white box ESXi box, which, if you're going to do any kind of experimenting and or basically building game servers for your friends, that's good shit to know.
Cool.
That's all I got.
Is the UT going to be on a white box?
The UT server is in DigitalOcean, but that's not the point. I guess I need to... It's not working right now, so anybody listening to the stream, sorry. I'm going to rebuild it because my last install had problems, and I found a better way to do it. But I don't know. We may eventually want to open that up.
Yeah, Cycros can play with us.
So, anyways, that's all I've really got this week. So listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Deckings every Thursday. I need to get with Lore and see what the hell he's doing, if he's even still doing shit on the stream. I don't think he is. I don't know if he's even doing shows right now. So, I need to talk to Lore at some point. Galaxy 15 Radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit. The Reddit's probably the best way to send me feedback right now. Morps on Reddit is me. And Cycros did send me some links, but I kind of forgot about them when I was doing the show notes. Oops. So if I duplicated anything Cycros sent me and I didn't create you, Cycros, that's why. Anyways, I did see those. I just forgot to look at them when I was doing the show notes this afternoon. Anyways, that's all I've got. Anybody else have anything before we play the Pac-Man sound?
I have a 3-day weekend and beer. Life is wonderful.
Well, drink more, man. It's hot as shit here. Of course, the sun